Podcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Good evening, AfterBuzzers! We are here at the AfterBuzz TV studios discussing everything American Horror Story Season 5. I'm your host for the evening, David Skiffelady, joined as always by the lovely and talented Sarah Huggins, Elena Jordan, and Pega Rath.
Hi, everybody.
Tonight we are discussing Episode 5, Room Service.
Ooh, fabulous.
Such a so good episode.
Every episode this season is better than the last one.
Yeah, it's just continuously getting better.
Agreed.
It's awesome.
And tonight was epic.
So bloody.
I thought we had to wait until next week for this big reveal, but we didn't.
It was so good. Just so you guys know, tonight Elena is on the YouTube chat roll, so if you guys have any questions live, please feel free to ask, or any theories that you guys want us to discuss. We are there with you, and we will get to them as we get to that. I don't know how else to put it, so that's what's going to happen.
But if you say mean things, I'll ignore you.
Yeah. Yeah. This week's episode opened with Alex transitioning.
Yes.
And I feel like that was sort of the theme of the entire episode, was like transition.
Yes.
Whether into a vampire, into the shadow self that you have, or into the person that you were always meant to be.
Agreed. This whole transitioning thing has me thinking.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I get it, right when they're turnt, as Ramona said.
I mean, that was awesome.
They're super thirsty, right? But they're,
right.
Is it controllable? Because I feel like with some people, it's not as controllable as others.
I mean, I guess if we look into the vampire lore that we know, and we know that it's always going to be different because it's always someone else telling the story, but whenever vampires first turn, they usually tend to be hungrier than they ever are going to be, and they also tend to be stronger than they're ever going to be. Mm-hmm. And
they're more reckless.
More reckless, and they... where was I going with that?
Like, they're more thirsty when they're first...
Right.
Like, who can control it?
They can't control it.
Who can't?
Exactly. Okay. It's something that is out of their control. But it seemed like Alex, despite the fact that she found a way to feed herself in the hospital through the blood bags, which is, you know, pushing it.
Gross. Smart, I think.
Smart,
if you work in a hospital and you're a vampire and you're trying not to kill people.
I don't know that
but
she works
also,
there.
Yeah, she works there at the hospital.
Yeah.
She's a doctor.
Is she the doctor there?
Because that's why she was saving the kid. She's a pediatrician.
What do you think she was doing there?
I didn't think that she worked at the hospital. I thought she had her own private practice.
Oh, like she was just a house call doctor?
Yeah.
Possible. I don't know. But if you have access to blood bags, why not? My thing is, you also have access to scissors and a straw. Like, calm down, woman. You don't have to be, like, tearing into it.
About it.
Yeah. Like, and then you just walk into your next patient room covered in blood. Like, how you doing?
But it's way better for the effect. Yeah, she did change.
I mean, the thing is that I think that my only problem with her feeding on the blood bags is that I'm looking out for her, and I want her to be careful because, you know, the more you feed on the supply of your place of employment, you know, people are going to start to notice things are missing.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And you're going to draw attention to yourselves.
I had the same thing with the little sandwiches at work, so I feel you, Alex. I sneak them. They caught on.
They're like, there's 30 sandwiches missing
every
this
time.
Morning.
And you were like, what?
Covered in sandwich.
All the crumbs are everywhere.
So going back to how much they can control, like, I feel like Iris wasn't even thirsty at all.
No, she was thirsty, but I think her thing was with her transition, she didn't want to drink blood. She didn't want to fully transition. And usually in vampire lore, from what we know, you first... Yes, you can get the infected with the virus, but you don't turn until you feed.
Right. Mm.
Okay, because that
that's why she was, like, doing, like, kind of withdrawal symptoms. Mm-hmm. Like, she was sweating and all
point.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because she hadn't fed yet.
Yeah.
And she was sort of resisting feeding.
And then that's why the little boy was like, you guys drink, you'll get stronger.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Cool.
That little boy was...
So I want to talk about this. So Alex has this patient that we've been seeing week after week who is, you know, part of a generation of children who haven't been vaccinated. And it's something that did come up in Los Angeles. It was a story in the news where there was an outbreak of measles. And, you know, it is a real thing again when it shouldn't be. But we're not going to talk about that.
This was Ryan Murphy's way of being like, vaccinate your kids or they're going to go crazy town banana pants and kill everyone in their middle school.
So the kid's in the hospital and the mom is being asked to sign a DNR. Whatever. Alex decides to give him her blood through an IV drip. Sure. Great. She's saving her patient. What the hell did she think was going to happen?
I don't think she really thought about it, though. Because we never saw her interact with him once. Because when he first woke up, he looked, like, fine.
He looked great, yeah. And he was eating normal food.
Right. He was eating normal food, so she was probably like, oh, well, whatever, bye.
You don't think she put two and two together?
I thought it was going to be how we had kind of talked last week, thinking she was going to find a cure and that the measles was going to somehow counteract it, and then she just discovered the cure.
Mm.
I was wrong.
Yeah. It was really careless on her part. I mean, she's a doctor. She knows from touching Holden that their temperatures drop, like, I don't know. She has
to. Well, like
know
any good doctor, she doesn't think about the repercussions of her actions at all.
Right, I guess not.
I was kind of sad.
We're just going to get everyone mad at us
for those of you
tonight.
Who are listening and not watching.
I was sad
see
that
my
he
gesture.
Killed his parents so quickly.
Well,
that was
come
so
on.
Sad.
He's a child, first of all, so his.
He kept his little girlfriend alive.
He turned her.
Yeah, but he could have turned mom and dad, too.
He turned all the kids, it seemed like.
Right.
In the school
I'm
and killed
you,
all the adults.
I've said it from episode one, little kids are creepy. Little kids are creepy. The second they showed Max in the hospital, I was like, something creepy's going to happen. And then what happened? He was creepy.
Yep.
I agree with you. Little children in horror films always freak me out.
They're the most terrifying part.
But I just don't understand what she thought was going to happen and why she thought it would be okay for her to send him home with his mother.
I don't think she thought about it, though. She was
but she
like,
knows how she turned.
Yeah, but I don't think she's really thinking of others that much. Like, she's just thinking, I want to be with Holden. I want to be with Holden. And she's trying to kind of... I don't think she's going to keep her job for very long. I don't think any of that's going to work out for
well,
too much
clearly.
Longer.
Well, clearly.
Right. So I don't think she's really thinking, oh, what are the repercussions of my actions? I don't think she was thinking about that.
Yeah.
I think she just is, you know, the quintessential mother in that she sees someone who's hurt, and it's a child, and she says, I want to do everything I can to help this child.
Yeah.
Kind of blinded to,
this child
could be real messed up if you inject him with vampire blood.
Yeah. Mm. Well, because remember, she doesn't quite know what she has either. She knows.
It is new to her.
Right. It is new, so she doesn't know what all she can do, what all she can't. And, I mean, it's barely been explained to her, you know? She didn't really think it over. It didn't take her that long to think about it. She just did it. So I don't think she's really thinking that much about anything other than...
I mean, I guess that's true.
You know? Christian Jett in the chat brings up a really good point.
Yes.
That she killed Prophet Moses. Uh-huh. Because he wasn't turned by her. That, I think, was a little bit more about their Ramona dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that mean for these kids?
Well, that's the thing. Later on in the episode, when the Countess gives her her new role as the governess of the children, she's to clean them, she's to bathe them, she's to feed them, she's to take care of them, and any whim that they have. She says that she can stay with us as long as she follows the rules. Mm-hmm. But she hasn't been explained the rules yet. So what are the rules?
Well, you would think, without having to say it, that the rules are don't turn an entire middle school into little hellions.
She didn't turn an entire school. She turned one kid who, surprisingly, for being a newbie, is
pretty bad.
Caught on very quickly.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Little Max is just
killing
it. Total sociopath.
Yeah.
But props to him. I mean...
That was still getting kisses from Maddie.
Yeah, I mean, in the closet.
Yeah. Ooh.
That, I mean, that was a little creepy.
But they like, was a
too
little.
Young.
Yeah, I was too like, young. No, well, that's the thing is, I don't think, but because they're in middle school, they're a little bit too old for the Countess to adopt them as her own. Well, yeah, it was the
eighth grade?
Marva Jones Middle School. Mm-hmm. That was actually, you recognized.
I'm pretty
it's down
sure
the street
it's,
from here.
Yeah. It's right down the street. I think.
BTW.
No, it looks really familiar.
It is.
It is. Okay, good. Yeah. Grant High School then.
Yeah, it's on, well, it's on Cahuenga. It's right here.
Yeah.
Don't tell people where we are.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert.
Oh, wow. Just kidding. But, you know, the other thing that I kept thinking was, it was on the news. No one else seemed to notice except the hipster kids. The most annoying millennial couple that I've ever met in my entire life. Who we know exist out there. And they
the influencers.
Are
oh, yeah.
Inundated in L.A.
Yes.
Darren Criss shows up for
a brief moment
for a guest star, play one half of this millennial couple who checks into the hotel.
What were you expecting? Were you expecting something bigger, better?
I kind of was expecting a bigger role for Darren Criss, for him having such a history with Ryan Murphy, for like being Glee. On Glee and stuff like that, I wouldn't have thought that he would have brought him in just for.
Well, that's how I felt about Max Greenfield, too, though, is he was just there to be kind of annoying and then die.
Right.
Which I think seems to be kind of a continuing theme.
Well, even
if you're
Freak
an annoying
Show.
Little hipster, you die immediately. It's like, all right, we get it, Ryan Murphy. You've walked up and down Hollywood Boulevard a few times. We've all had that feeling, but.
Well, remember in Freak Show, Matt Bomer's character only lasted like that one episode, and we were like, what?
That's I guess,
And we were so upset because when we heard he was guest starring, it was like a big deal, but it's like one episode, one and done.
I mean, I guess, I mean, when you have such big stars on your show to begin with, having just like another star on your show as a guest star is just like, you know, commonplace.
Mm-hmm. It was definitely a memorable moment, though, because it was part of the bigger picture.
It was part of the bigger picture. I want to get to that, but I guess we'll get to that in a second because I'd rather discuss John briefly since his storyline this week was
John's a killer, you guys. I told you. He can't remember anything. I'm telling you, he's a killer.
I'm sort of jumping on this bandwagon with you only because with the whole discussion of like shadow selves and like the person that you hide from society and the person that you have in front of society.
That was the whole thing was they were saying you have two selves, the compliant and the shadow. Mm-hmm. And if you ignore it, life is forever suffering. Mm-hmm. And he keeps talking about his suffering. Mm-hmm. And then Sally, when he's talking to her, goes into her whole thing where you remember everything you did. And it's going to happen again and again, over and over, because it's destiny and you can't fight destiny. And the way she was saying it did not make it sound like she was talking about them hooking up. It was very much something's going on with you. You are the Ten Commandments killer.
Because, he was like, I don't remember anything. And it's like,
knows everything. Come
on. So are we at the point where he really is interacting with Sally, but he's. Like, he's not just saying that. It's actually happening, right?
Yes.
He's not hallucinating.
It definitely has to be happening.
It's happening. That whole elevator scene from the previous, that whole thing.
Well,
because
she was
happened.
Like, you practically dragged me up here. Okay. And he's like, I don't remember anything. It's like, yeah, you do.
He is forgetting a lot.
Yeah.
But that's it makes sense, though, because you black out that. Like, he's blacking out.
What you think is happening is he's, the things that he's doing is, like, he's going out, he's murdering people, setting them up in some sort of
biblical way or whatever.
Biblical Ten Commandments type of murder. And then he's blacking it all out, going home to the hotel and having sex with Sally and then waking up not realizing
what
happened.
He's drinking again, remember?
He is.
So I think he just comes home, he drinks himself into oblivion or comes to the hotel, hooks up with Sally, and then it's kind of like a vicious cycle. But I'm sure we'll see if and when it is revealed that he is the killer, I'm sure we will see flashbacks of those killings, and he actually does remember that stuff. We just I feel like all will
He's
be revealed.
Just suppressing it. Yes. It's the shadow.
Yes.
I mean, that would be the only way to reveal it, right?
Well, right.
Yeah. Unless they it's somebody else.
It's not.
Unless it's a red herring.
It's such a minor part of the story, I feel it really is. So it's okay for it to be him and for it to be obvious.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, the fact that he's been fired from the police force.
Right, because he's crazy. Everybody knows it.
Right, he's losing his mind.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's losing his mind.
Yes, he does.
I will say, Champas just asked, where is Drillbit Dildo Guy that we have dubbed
Drillbit?
He was
in the room.
He was there. We see a flashback of him for just a second. Yes. He sees him in the mirror. Mm-hmm. So that almost wondered, but it looked like he possessed John. Like they were this.
They were the same
reflection.
Person?
Right.
Interesting.
But that was just a fraction of a second that we see that. So that
makes
me wonder.
So who,
Do you think that is...
Mr. March?
John's shadow self?
Oh,
that he's
we're seeing it?
Yes. I do.
It would make
that
sense.
That would be interesting.
Wow.
Because he's also had, you know, he's had intimacy with his wife and all of his issues and everything. So right. It would make sense that... his repressed self and all of his guilt and everything he has embodied into this horrific creature.
Right. So that means that, because that the Drildo guy was at Hotel Cortez before John actually started living there.
Yes.
Well,
right,
but he was killing
but
there
he
already.
But he was killing there already. Okay.
Right, because remember he got that phone call and he said, that said, I'm in room 34.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's where Max was, right?
Mm-hmm. And then 64. He goes, yeah.
Whatever room it is.
The same room that room. He was in.
Mm-hmm. He's a killer.
I think...
confirmed.
That would be very interesting.
If he was... Yeah. If that's, like, the physical manifestation of his repressed shadow self, and we've just seen his compliant up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed like, when the Countess was saying that was a very important point.
Right.
That those are the two selves, and that the one that you expect, that everyone expects you to be, if you just keep trying to be that. Mm-hmm. And we see that John has had issues for 5 years, barely passed his psyche eval, has been kind of just
coasting
by the skin of his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally this episode gets fired. And then that's when he goes off with Sally and is confronted with what he has repressed as far as memory-wise, even though it was that direct situation. So it's like, okay, you've been pushed into the deep end. Embrace your second self, all of you, or you're going to be miserable and you're going to drive yourself insane.
That would be so interesting.
Yeah, I love your
it really would. I mean, I think to have like a physical manifestation of a shadow self.
Right.
That we've seen since episode one and not realized.
Yeah.
What would yours be
like? That'd
be a
great little sneaky thing.
You don't want to know.
Yeah.
I don't want to see mine.
I know, right? I don't know.
I know what mine is.
Mine would just be me eating the sandwiches at work. And I'm like, stop, don't show it to me.
Just a giant sandwich head.
The bulk of our story tonight revolved around Iris.
Yeah.
Transitioning into the woman that she has been destined to be her entire life. And I love her.
I do. She's finally living her life, which is good.
And I think it's, I mean, like she said in the episode, it's ironic that she had to die to be able to finally live her true life.
Right.
Even though that she's now in this body that people deem invisible.
Which was another throwback. Like, I know we talked a lot about this in Coven.
Yeah.
And I told a story that I won't retell it, but about, you know, the older woman being invisible type thing. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be a reoccurring. Obviously, it's definitely something that is dealt with in society, but it is something that Ryan Murphy definitely brings up quite a bit, I find.
And I feel Hollywood culture that
of
he's
course.
Kind of holding up the proverbial mirror to saying... You know, this isn't right.
Right.
So, but I love that, you know, in this world, the vampires don't become youthful and their youngest pure self. They become whatever they are at that moment in time. And so I think...
Which is fierce in her case.
It's awesome that it's kind of representative of a rebirth of self by just killing your old self and saying, this is who I am and embracing it. Yeah. I'm telling everybody else to F off.
Yep.
Liz Taylor style.
Yeah. And how Iris and Liz Taylor bonded over that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Love your body, love who you are. And they finally, like, after 20 years of living together, that is what actually brought them together. Yeah.
Well, we finally got to see Liz Taylor's backstory.
It was better than I ever could have dreamed. The music,
too.
Every part of that story, that them telling that story from the direction to the lighting to the song, like to the costumes, the makeup, like that was sick, like and amazing,
so good,
dying. Like I have to watch it again. I'm going to. I'm going to go home tonight and watch that like on repeat.
The cinematography this episode was like
breathtaking,
amazing. Phenomenal. Wait. Because when we saw the vampires from their perspective, everything is a little bit overdone. When we see Iris change. And when he's ringing the bell and you just feel her anguish in it just because of the way that it's shot. And when we see Alex walking through the hospital and it's just a little bit unsettling.
Yeah.
So good.
While they're
so
like good. First transitioning with like a fisheye lens and like all the noise is louder for them. It's really cool. It was really, really awesome.
It's a fisheye lens that makes sense, unlike the first episode where I was like, yes, you have a new lens. That's
nice.
Good for you.
Is anyone else, like, I don't know how I feel about the Countess. Like, I don't know how, if I think she's good or bad.
That, I mean, is
like her intentions.
Yes, because in Liz Taylor's case, I loved everything about that scene. Well, clearly, I just gushed about it for like 10 minutes.
And she is reveling in the fact that Liz Taylor is different and wants to help her express that difference. And
so, like, caring and genuine about it.
Yeah.
She didn't, you know, she didn't turn Liz Taylor. You know,
no.
She didn't even try. You know, that wasn't what it was about. Which, so that made me be like, oh, but then when I see her every other time, I'm like, oof, I don't know.
But it's also 1984 when... You know, you look at the timeline when she's with Ramona and she's before everything goes awry, she's all give. It's before she's had her heart ripped out. And then I think the Ramona situation is what really turned her and made her kind of callous because her idea has now her personality has changed.
Right.
She's all happy in the 70s. She's helping people in the 80s. And then when Prophet Moses comes in and kind of takes away her Ramona, then... Her heart's broken and she shifts completely. And that's when she starts burgling up babies. And
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good point.
But at the same time, on the other hand, even though she may be a little bit more callous now, she did give Alex...
I feel like that's a deal with the devil. That
wasn't something caring for Alex. Yes, it wasn't necessarily caring for Alex, but she is giving her the opportunity to spend eternity with her child, which is what Alex wants, right?
But she also wants.
She said that the other person that was caring for the children was horrible, and she's trying to get rid of her. So is
and who's
just,
that?
Like, right. I'm dying to know. I'm sure we'll find out.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know who the governess, the prior governess is.
Me too.
Is the prior governess Iris?
No.
No, because Iris doesn't take care of the kids. She doesn't bathe them. We've never seen her take care of the children. We've just seen her purify the blood to give to the Countess.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think
she's
it's
like
someone
the Countess's. Yeah, she's like her personal assistant, not her nanny.
Yeah.
She's looking for a nanny.
I loved that part, by the way. Like, after she had said, oh, I'm basically invisible even to the Countess, and then she wasn't. You know?
That
I love
so
that.
So creepy.
Yeah.
Because, like, I thought for sure she was safe. I'm like, they're out the door. She didn't see her. And then all of a sudden, boom, another camera, like, cool
so
trick.
Good, that just puts you in the shoes of the character.
And they were all so good in that scene. I mean,
But if you think about it, right, we get to see at the beginning of the episode with Alex when she is looking at Max's mother, right? She can hear her heart beating.
Mm-hmm.
And if for 20 years the Countess has walked through that lobby and heard two heartbeats, tonight she walks through the lobby and could only hear one.
We also see, too, when Tristan says, you smell different.
Right.
And the Countess can even tell just when Liz walks in, when he was McPryor, boring old McPryor, says, you walk like a man, you act like a man, but you smell like a woman. So she can even, you know, tell kind of the essence of a person. It's less their blood and more their essence. So Iris's entire everything has changed.
Right.
So we're saying the Countess knows.
She definitely knows.
150%.
Like, yeah. Flipping tables. Like, she has to be
pissed. Because I don't think she's threatened by her still.
I don't think she cares.
I think right now she's just like, that's interesting.
I'm sure she's more curious as to how she got turned, but I'm sure she's like, whatever.
Yeah. She's more focused on, we're going out. It's Halloween. I look amazing. Tell Roderick to find us.
We're going to Demi's.
Yeah.
Kill me.
Yeah.
Like, kill me. Taking Tristan to Demi.
It was awesome. Is that your Gaga impression?
I don't know what that was.
The only thing I'm sad about is that the Halloween episode came out after Halloween, because I would have killed to dress as Gaga in her Halloween costume.
One of the fans asked if I was going to. See, that's brave. I would never attempt to do Gaga, ever.
That was a little Marie Antoinette.
Marie Antoinette. Yeah. Yeah. So I would be Lady Gaga as the Countess as Marie Antoinette, and it's just like costumeception.
See, that is too much. I could not do it justice, but maybe you could.
There's always next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I would do it justice, but it still would just be a really long name. And by the time I was done saying it, everyone would finish their beer, and then they would think I was more
insane.
In character.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. True. It's totally fine.
Best line of the night, goddesses don't speak in whispers, they scream. Oh, that is my new motto. I'm going to be Instagramming that for sure.
Be screaming everywhere.
Yeah, be screaming.
That's fine. I'm not looking at you weird. I agree with you.
I'm obsessed. The entire sequence of Liz Taylor's backstory was
phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that we got to see it.
Yes.
I'm really happy about Liz Taylor's storyline.
Yes.
There's still a few questions that are left unanswered, but we're not going to get into that.
I did think it was interesting, though, that Liz wasn't ever turned, and that...
You know, Liz said the Countess looked at Liz as her dress-up doll.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that speaks to her, like, being fond of her and not necessarily needing this person to live an eternity.
Right.
But helping this person become who they truly are was,
right,
I guess, more of a gift than eternal life.
But, like, Iris had to be turned in order to do the same thing.
She had to die to find her life.
Exactly.
Liz just had to be told it was okay.
Right. Yeah. I loved that scene with the two guys he worked with. That was incredible.
I love that this was very big in the, if you act like a dick, someone's going to kill you. So don't act. Like, each of these were validated, you know?
I agree.
Completely.
You've seen some others where they're, you know, the first episode where they're just, we're tourists, we want to go ride Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
And they're like, die.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, that's a bit much. But.
Yeah, okay.
So I like that these were all validated. Like, you were... When you watched, it was twisted, but you would watch these characters and you're like, hurry up and kill them, kill them. I know you're going to do it. Do it. They're the worst.
You want grilled romaine? Die.
Eat a steak. Get a burger like a normal person.
That was amazing.
Steal the sandwiches.
That Iris was sitting with Liz Taylor in, I guess, the kitchen when they're like getting the cat food or pate, whatever it was, dog food, ready for them. And she was like, they're fancy. They eat their salad cooked.
Yeah, that was really funny.
So funny because all of us at this table have had cooked salad.
Of course.
Yeah, well.
Whatever. You have, don't lie.
We're influencers. Have you never had like grilled kale or anything?
Come on,
Alabama.
You've had it. I don't eat vegetables unless you deep fry them.
That's a lie.
I shouldn't even
imagine. I'm going to take you to have some cooked kale. It's really gross.
I've never had kale.
It's good. I like it.
You probably have had kale and you probably didn't.
I had like a kale chip and I was like, this is garbage. Give me real chips.
It is an acquired taste. It's good for you.
Don't call it a chip if it's a lie.
I mean, they are crunchy. They're crunchy.
It's like a chip substitute.
Yes.
So it's tree bark. I don't say that that's a chip.
Chip substitute.
Whatever.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to take you out for some cooked salad, and you're going to be like, this is gross. And I'm going to be like, I know, right?
Oh.
And then we'll eat some cat food to top it off.
Some cat food to top it off. It'll be really fun.
Cat food pate.
Yes.
Did anyone else find... We will?
We will.
Oh, I thought that was pretty much our episode, and then I was going
to
bring that up.
But. No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
All right. Because we haven't really talked about Iris becoming the woman she is and how vindicated she was in killing the two millennials.
Mm-hmm. That was a brutal kill. Stab, stab, stab.
But so good.
So good.
I loved that she was saying, you have no idea what it's like to be gutted as she's gutting them. I was just
no idea what it's like to live.
There were so many good one-liners. Like when John was fired and nothing is safe. And just, this episode
was
just...
a lot. Yeah, you're right.
It was all great one-liners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a really good episode.
Quotable episode.
It was.
And the best way to end it... For Sarah, I guess.
Well, no.
I mean, I know you're going to say you think it's weird, but Alex and Holden sharing a coffin. You didn't find that touching? This whole time you've been
like me now.
Well,
another good one-liner.
It was weird to me that they were like on top of each other.
They weren't. They were side by side. That was just the camera angle.
Oh, it was? Okay.
It was like an underneath shot.
Yeah, I did think it was sweet.
It did kind of look like they were about to make out.
Right.
Yeah,
it was a little weird, but... That's okay. I am happy. I know. I am rooting for them. I want them to be able to be happy and together.
I just like that the Countess ordered them a monogram pillow.
I know.
He's cute.
She thinks of the details.
Like fashion.
I love
she
that
knows.
She's had like her Victorian hair, like ever since before she was turned, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it still just fits her like vampire self. I don't know. I just noticed that.
Quick, because that's the hair that she had when she got turned, right? Mm,
yeah.
Mm. I think that's just her personal style. And
or
now
it's just
she's,
a wig.
Now she is actually finding her true self. Is she's the one who always wants to take care of children, and now that's her job forever. So it's like everyone in this episode is finding their actual calling.
Right.
Mm.
Just kind of cool.
It is kind of cool.
That's a good point.
I still don't like Alex. I mean, I really could care less about her.
I like her, but
I'm
a
just
little.
Saying.
I will
I'm
say.
Less intrigued by that now that she's with Holden. I'm kind of like, all right, moving on.
See?
But I am curious about what the Countess expects from her. Because
I
know it's
I know
not
what's
just.
Gonna happen.
What? Predictions?
We'll talk about it in predictions.
Okay.
And that's most of our episodes.
Yeah,
anything
yeah.
else that we missed?
No.
Mm-mm. No? Okay, let's jump into news and gossip. Does anyone have anything?
I have a little bit.
Okay, let's talk about it.
It's less news and gossip and more just kind of a cool thing that, speaking of moms, my mom, that's way better than Alex, sent me.
Mama Jordan.
Hi, Mommy. Boop, boop. She's watching live. She never watches my show, so that's a testament to you guys. And really just to how good American Horror Story is.
Yes. Yeah.
But she was looking up some different reference things because we're talking about the mattress and what that was an allusion to, because everything seems to have a reference to actual murders. Not only is the mattress bodies a real thing, it's happened more times than you can even count. From the early 80s down to last year.
What? No.
Yes.
No.
Even in Pasadena, California in 1996, for 10 days, there was a body sewn into the mattress.
Nope.
And happened in 1999. There were people, and it's always days later when somebody complains about the smell. And then it's normally in the box springs. They found so many... And for whatever reason, these poor German tourists, like, it's German tourists, like, 10 times that they are the ones who smell it and then find the bodies. But they complain, and they say there's a horrible smell, and they say, oh, it's nothing, the room was just cleaned. And then a couple actually pulled it off, and there was a sewn mark.
Stop it.
They cut it open, and it's been in the box springs, and that's just apparently a common place to hide a body in a hotel.
So what you're saying is every time we check into a hotel,
we
check off
the box
springs.
Yes.
Check the
box
springs.
Check it, and if it's got a little sew up in the center, you better look out for drill dough, because he's coming for you.
Oh, my gosh.
That is
the crazy thing is...
Horrifying.
It is horrifying. But that's been used as a plot device before. There's actually a movie called Four Rooms from 1995.
Tarantino.
Quentin Tarantino was in The Man from Hollywood was his segment, and he also directed Jackie Brown, which was the inspiration for Ramona's character.
Right.
And Madonna's character was a witch in a coven, very much like American Horror Story coven. Yeah. And then the body in the mattress plot was Antonio Banderas, was on New Year's.
Yeah.
He told the bellhop to watch his kids, and the kids find the body in the box spring. So it seems like that movie has direct references to this season. It was definitely
a major influence.
A reference point.
Yeah.
Wow.
So shout out to my smart mom for putting that together and then letting me take credit for it.
I do have like a little quick gossip or news or whatever you want to call
it. Spoiler?
What?
Is it spoilery?
No. Okay. Ryan Murphy was honored this past week by the... now I can't even remember.
He was honored by... Gossip. I forget, but I know what you're talking about. I saw it.
What?
Can't remember it. It was the AIDS Foundation.
Okay.
For being a leader. Whatever.
I think that's awesome.
I think it's fantastic. And Lady Gaga performed, and it was like a big event for him, and... I can't even remember.
I see the photos and everything.
Flores in the chat also said, speaking of moms, I missed last season's Dandy's mom, Frances Conroy, which hurry up and be in this season.
Dandy.
I know.
There are a couple people that are missing.
I can't wait.
Yeah, but has she been confirmed to be on?
No.
She hasn't. But this season is so good. I feel like
Amphar.
Never lose hope.
Amphar.
Yeah, I just said that.
Did you?
Yes.
I didn't even hear you
say
that.
Do we have any predictions?
Oh, sorry, let's jump into predictions. I wasn't listening to anybody because I needed to figure it out.
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry.
Don't start with me again.
We always start with you.
Starting with you. There's so much.
Well, spit something out.
Okay.
You can just say no.
That's John.
Yeah.
Is going to find out that he's like psycho.
He's gonna realize it.
He's gonna realize something.
Not next week.
You don't think so?
No.
In a couple more weeks?
I think that's gonna be. I think I meant to phrase
that as a question and not a statement.
Oh. Maybe. Okay. Or he's gonna find out that Holden is still alive and in the hotel. John is gonna have some sort of awakening next episode.
He's seen him though. Already.
Okay.
No, but I think, like.
Yeah.
Next week's episode is what episode. Six?
Episode
so
six.
So it's like technically halfway through?
It's the
through.
Room 33 one, remember?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
If we're looking at a story arc, that would be about the time
he should
start having his ultimate breakdown, is seeing his wife and kid in the hotel, but not knowing what's real and what's not. So I think you're right. I think so too.
Too bad you're not taking it on.
Yay, Pega. Yay. Elena?
I'm just going to steal Cannon Richardson's prediction here in the chat.
Steal it.
He said that Scarlett is going to become the next Buffy the Vampire Slayer and just
hilarious.
Go in and
please.
Destroy.
Yes, please.
And I don't think
do
it's
it.
Going to happen, but if it did, all the joy in the world would be had by me.
Me too.
I don't have anything,
Sarah?
Except for John is a killer. No, and we're going to find out more about that next
week.
That's
fine.
Boom.
I have a prediction, but I don't think it's for next week. I think it's definitely going to happen.
What?
Alex is going to freak out, take Holden, leave the hotel.
Ooh.
And be on
because
the
Countess is going to find out about what she did and the consequences of what she did. And she's going to be like, that's it. You're out on the streets. I'm done with you. And she's going to be like, fine, I'm taking my kid and I'm leaving. I'm in charge. And I'm leaving.
Do you really think the Countess is going to let her walk out with her son?
No, I think she's going to sneak out in the dead of night with her baby.
Can you sneak out?
Nothing.
I don't know. I think maybe Countess. Alex will team up with Iris to help.
And Ramona
Iris is going to be taking down.
Yeah, because Iris is their man on the inside.
Yeah.
Because you see everything when you're invisible.
You do. You really do.
Another good
one-liner. Mm-hmm. So good tonight.
Yeah, fantastic.
Things are happening, people.
Yeah.
And we're almost halfway through.
Yeah.
And things are happening still.
Yeah.
I can't wait for next week.
I'm so excited.
I'm really pumped.
Okay, so before we go, I want to give a couple quick shout-outs on Twitter. Glenn Grazia at our Melvin fan on YouTube. Hippie Witch Gal and Niklaus Ledger, I think.
Mm-hmm. Ledger, maybe.
Ledger. Sorry if I screwed up your all's names. But thank you guys for being super fans. Thank you for everyone interacting us this week on the YouTube chat roll. But if you want to continue talking to us throughout the week, where can everybody find you, Pega?
You can find me on all social media at Pegarad.
You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan. That's A-L-A-N-A-J-O-R-D-A-N. And on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl.
And I am at Sarah on the Go on Twitter and at SarahBurr67 on Instagram.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at You Can Call Me Skiff. That's the letter U and SKIFF. From everyone here at the AfterBuzz TV family, we want to say thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. And check your mattresses.
Bye. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.